Four, three, two, one. Why is there such an incredible hatred against the Jewish people and against Israel in the days that we are now living in? We even hear people say, oh, I have nothing against the Jews. I hate the Israeli government. It's the government that I have a problem with. So, where is all this hatred coming from? Listen in today as we look into these questions and open up the book of Esther and look at the ancient hatred of Haman, Amalek, and Esau. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is August 18th. Now let's consider. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is August 18th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 9, 1 to 15. Hear, O Israel. You are about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and more populous than you, great cities with walls sky high. A people great and tall, the Anakites, of whom you have knowledge, for you have heard it said, who can stand up to the children of Anak? Know then this day that none other than Hashem your God is crossing at your head, a devouring fire. It is He who will wipe them out. He will subdue them before you, that you may quickly dispossess and destroy them, as Hashem promised you. And when Hashem your God has thrust them from your path, say not to yourselves, Hashem has enabled us to possess this land because of our virtues. It is rather because of the wickedness of those nations that Hashem is dispossessing them before you. It is not because of your virtues and your rectitude that you will be able to possess their country, but it is because of their wickedness that Hashem your God is dispossessing those nations before you, and in order to fulfill the oath that Hashem made to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then that it is not for any virtue of yours that Hashem your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. Remember, never forget, how you provoked Hashem your God to anger in the wilderness from the day that you left the land of Egypt until you reached this place. You have continued defiant toward Hashem. At Horeb, you so provoked Hashem that Hashem was angry enough with you to have destroyed you. I had ascended the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that Hashem had made with you. And I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, eating no bread and drinking no water. And Hashem gave me the two tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of Hashem, with the exact words that Hashem had addressed to you on the mountain out of the fire on the day of the assembly. At the end of those 40 days and 40 nights, Hashem gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. And Hashem said to me, hurry, go down from here at once. For the people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted wickedly. They have been quick to stray from the path I enjoined upon them. They have made themselves a molten image. Hashem further said to me, I see that this is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, and I will destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make you a nation far more numerous than they. I started them down the mountain. A mountain ablaze with fire, the two tablets of the covenant in my two hands. Esther 1, 1 to 3, 15. It happened in the days of Ahasuerus that Ahasuerus, who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia, in those days when King Ahasuerus occupied the royal throne in the fortress of Shushan, in the 3rd year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all the officials and courtiers, the administration of Persia and Media, the nobles and the governors of the provinces in his service. For no fewer than 180 days he displayed the vast riches of his kingdom and the splendid glory of his majesty. At the end of this period, the king gave a banquet for 7 days in the court of the king's palace garden for all the people who lived in the fortress Shushan, high and low alike. There were hangings of white cotton and blue wool, caught up by cords of fine linen and purple wool, to silver rods and alabaster columns. And there were couches of gold and silver on a pavement of marble, alabaster, mother of pearl, and mosaics. Royal wine was served in abundance, as befits a king, in golden beakers, beakers of varied design. And the rule for the drinking was no restrictions, for the king had given orders to every palace steward to comply with each man's wishes. In addition, Queen Vashti gave a banquet for women in the royal palace of King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the king was merry with wine, he ordered Mehuman, Bizatha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zether, and Carcass, the 7 eunuchs in attendance on King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing a royal diadem, to display her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was a beautiful woman. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command conveyed by the eunuchs. The king was greatly incensed, and his fury burned within him. Then the king consulted the sages learned in procedure, for it was the royal practice to turn to all who were versed in law and precedent. His closest advisors were Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Merez, Marcina, and Memucan, the 7 ministers of Persia and Media, who had access to the royal presence and occupied the first place in the kingdom. What, he asked, shall be done, according to the law, to Queen Vashti for failing to obey the command of King Ahasuerus, conveyed by the eunuchs? Thereupon Memucan declared in the presence of the king and the ministers, Queen Vashti has committed an offense not only against your majesty, but also against all the officials and against all the peoples and all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's behavior will make all wives despise their husbands, as they reflect that King Ahasuerus himself ordered Queen Vashti to be brought before him. But she would not come. To this very day, the ladies of Persia and Media, who have heard of the queen's behavior, will cite it to all your majesty's officials, and there will be no end of scorn and provocation. If it please your majesty, let a royal edict be issued by you, and let it be written into the laws of Persia and Media, so that it cannot be abrogated, that Vashti shall never enter the presence of King Ahasuerus, and let your majesty bestow her royal state upon another who is more worthy than she. Then will the judgment executed by your majesty resound throughout your realm, vast though it is, and all wives will treat their husbands with respect, high and low alike. The proposal was approved by the king and the ministers, and the king did as Memucan proposed. Dispatches were sent to all the provinces of the king, to every province in its own script, and to every nation in its own language, that every man would wield authority in his home and speak the language of his own people. Sometime afterward, when the anger of King Ahasuerus subsided, he thought of Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. The king's servants who attended him said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought out for your majesty. Let your majesty appoint officers in every province of your realm to assemble all the beautiful young virgins at the fortress Shushan in the harem under the supervision of Hedge, the king's eunuch, guardian of the women. Let them be provided with their cosmetics, and let the maiden who pleases your majesty be queen instead of Vashti." The proposal pleased the king, and he acted upon it. In the fortress Shushan lived a Jew by the name of Mordecai, son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Keresh, a Benjamite. Kish had been exiled from Jerusalem in the group that was carried into exile, along with King Jeconiah of Jehuda, who had been driven into exile by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He was foster father to Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The maiden was shapely and beautiful, and when her father and mother died, Mordecai adopted her as his own daughter. When the king's order and edict was proclaimed, and when many girls were assembled in the fortress Shushan under the supervision of Haggai, Esther too was taken into the king's palace under the supervision of Haggai, guardian of the women. The girl pleased him and won his favor, and he hastened to furnish her with her cosmetics and her rations, as well as with the 7 maids, who were her due from the king's palace, and he treated her and her maids with special kindness in the harem. Esther did not reveal her people or her kindred, for Mordecai had told her not to reveal it. Every single day, Mordecai would walk about in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was faring and what was happening to her. When each girl's turn came to go to King Ahasuerus at the end of the 12 months' treatment prescribed for women, for that was the period spent on beautifying them, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and women's cosmetics. And it was after that that the girl would go to the king. Whatever she asked for would be given her to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. She would go in the evening and leave in the morning, for a second harem in charge of Shagas, the king's eunuch, guardian of the concubines. She would not go again to the king, unless the king wanted her, when she would be summoned by name. When the turn came for Esther, daughter of Avakil, the uncle of Mordecai, who had adopted her as his own daughter, to go to the king, she did not ask for anything but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, guardian of the women, advised to her. Yet Esther won the admiration of all who saw her. Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus to his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tevet, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she won his grace and favor more than all the virgins. So he set a royal diadem on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. The king gave a great banquet for all his officials and courtiers, the banquet of Esther. He proclaimed a remission of taxes for the provinces and distributed gifts as befits a king. When the virgins were assembled a second time, Mordecai sat in the palace gate. But Esther did not reveal her kindred or her people, as Mordecai had instructed her. For Esther obeyed Mordecai's bidding as she had done when she was under his tutelage. At that time, when Mordecai was sitting in the palace gate, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the threshold, became angry and plotted to do away with King Ahasuerus. Mordecai learned of it and told it to Queen Esther, and Esther reported it to the king in Mordecai's name. The matter was investigated and found to be so, and the two were impaled on stakes. This was recorded in the Book of Annals at the instance of the king. Sometime afterward, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite. He advanced him and seated him higher than any of his fellow officials. All the king's courtiers in the palace gate knelt and bowed low to Haman, for such was the king's order concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel or bow low. Then the king's courtiers who were in the palace gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's order?" When they spoke to him day after day, and he would not listen to them, they told Haman in order to see whether Mordecai's resolve would prevail. For he had explained to them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel and bow low to him, Haman was filled with rage. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Having been told who Mordecai's people were, Haman plotted to do away with all the Jews, Mordecai's people, throughout the kingdom of Ahasuerus. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, Hur, which means the lot, was cast before Haman concerning every day and every month, until it fell on the 12th month, that is the month of Adar. Haman then said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the other peoples in all the provinces of your realm, whose laws are different from those of any other people, and who do not obey the king's laws. It is not in your majesty's interest to tolerate them. If it please your majesty, let an edict be drawn for their destruction, and I will pay 10,000 kikorot of silver to the stewards for deposit in the royal treasury. Thereupon the king removed his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the foe of the Jews. And the king said, "The money and the people are yours to do with as you see fit." On the 13th day of the first month, the king's scribes were summoned, and a decree was issued, as Haman directed, to the king's satraps, the governors of every province, and to the officials of every people, to every province in its own script, and to every people in its own language. The orders were issued in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed with the king's signet. Accordingly, written instructions were dispatched by courtiers to all the king's provinces to destroy, massacre, and exterminate all the Jews, young and old, children and women, on a single day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, that is, the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. The text of the document was to the effect that a law would be proclaimed in every single province. It was to be publicly displayed to all the people, so they might be ready for that day. The courtiers went out to post haste on the royal mission, and the decree was proclaimed in the fortress Shushan. The king and Haman sat down to feast, but the city of Shushan was dumbfounded. First Corinthians 11:17-34. Now in this that I, Paul, declare to you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone takes before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when we come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together to condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Psalm 35:17-28. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among the people. Let not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yes, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye has seen it. This you have seen, O Lord. Keep not silent, O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up yourself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Proverbs 21:19-20. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends it up. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Esther chapters 1 to 3, and I want to zoom in on a particular character, a central figure in this story as it unfolds, and that would be Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. And so Haman gets a promotion, and he wants all of the servants to bow down to him. And in chapter 3, it goes on to say, verse 5, when Haman saw that Mordecai, the Jew, did not bow, nor did him reverence, then Haman was full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had shown him the people of Mordecai. Therefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So the notion of genocide against the Jews is an ancient one, and here's an example of Haman wanting to genocide all the Jews because he did not like Mordecai. Where does this ancient hatred come from? It is hardwired into the genes, and it goes back to Esau. So Jacob and Esau are twin brothers. Esau hates Jacob. Esau tries to kill Jacob while they're still in the womb, to step on his head and crush the tender spot on his head. And then, of course, later on, it's in his heart to murder him. And so Esau despised his birthright, sold it for a bowl of soup. Jacob loved the Torah, and Esau was a man of the fields. So when Jacob receives the birthright from his father, then Esau is exceedingly full of bitterness, and he wants to kill his brother. So God himself says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I have hated. And so this ancient hatred begins with Esau, and then Esau has a grandson by the name of Amalek. And Amalek, being the grandson of Esau, basically goes to battle against Israel in Rephidim. And this very famous battle, Moses keeps his arms raised, and as long as his arms are raised, Israel prevails in the battle. But as soon as his arms droop, Israel begins to lose. So boots on the ground, battle with Amalek. Moses is fighting a spiritual battle by interceding and praying for them. So now later on, Saul is given orders from the Lord to go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. That's from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. Saul does not obey the Lord. He allows the king of Amalek, King Agag, to live. And because of this, God regrets that he has set up Saul as the king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. He didn't obey. Okay, so now we have Esau, his grandson is Amalek, and then we have Haman. And Haman is the Agagite. Haman of Hadatha of the Agagite. He is of the lineage of Agag. I believe he's the grandson to Amalek. So this ancient hatred against Jacob, against the descendants of Jacob, it's a Jacob and Esau conflict, and the descendants of Jacob and the descendants of Esau. So Haman now wants to wipe out all the Jews. And you look at it today, Hamas, when you look at that word in the Hebrew, it means violence. In the book of Genesis, when it says in Genesis chapter 6 that the earth was filled with violence and God was grieved that he had created mankind, that word violence in English, when you look at it in Hebrew, it is literally the word Hamas. So we can't really prove it genetically or genealogically, but spiritually, those people who hate Israel and who hate the Jews and who want to genocide the Jews and wipe Israel off the map, I believe that they are descendants, spiritual descendants of Esau, Amalek, and Haman. And we are certainly seeing a tremendous uprising of Jew hatred and anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism in the days that we live in. It is truly a spiritual battle, and it goes back all the way to Esau. So now, as we continue to read the book of Esther, we're going to watch and see how she handles this edict of genocide against her people. How do we handle hatred when somebody hates you just because you're Jewish, or somebody hates you just because you're a female, or somebody hates you just because you are whatever the color of your skin is? How do we handle that biblically? We will learn as we continue on in the book of Esther. Stay with us.